Yesterday, I visited some friends in their house, and I was remembering probably 15 years ago or so when they had that house built. And my friend, Gwen, was sort of overseeing every aspect of the new house, and she was so excited about it. She would drag us out there periodically to see what had happened lately. So, you know, when they bought the land, we had to go out there and look at that. And then there was a time when they had framed up the house, and you really couldn't tell very much except sort of where, what the rooms were. But she made us go out there and look at the framed up house. And one of my friends who was with us found a place in one of the boards that was defective. And so she said, Gwen, you need to talk to the builder and get them to replace that, because as soon as they start doing some of the more extensive work, that's going to be covered up, and that's just not ideal to have that weakness. It's like an intrinsic weakness in the structure of the house. I think it's less simple in most circumstances to spot things in our lives that we build our lives on that are not quite sound. It's very difficult to determine the soundness of our foundations as we go about our human lives. The gospel today, at least part of it, is about identifying the foundational elements in our lives. In the gospel, Jesus speaks of the cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected. It makes me ask the question of what is the cornerstone for me, for each of us, and for our human culture in general. I think there are varying cornerstones for people in how they build their lives. In our culture, especially in the scientific aspect of it, the cornerstone would seem to be deductive truth. But without an ethical framework, we face destruction at the hand of our own technology. In other words, our science advances to a place where we could destroy ourselves with our nuclear missiles, with our technology, and if we're not informed ethically, then that cannot be our cornerstone because it gets us in a lot of trouble. Also in the scientific realm is the story of creation. There is a lot of belief out there in science about what the origins of the Earth were. And there are theories which say that the chemicals that were there just converged to produce life. It pushes back against the idea of a creator God. Well, to me, I believe in the science. I believe a lot of the things that they have discovered. But something had to create those chemicals to begin with. There has to be a first cause. So just determining kind of the early origins of the universe can't really be a cornerstone for us because we still have to know what was before that. In our government structures, organization, at least theoretically, organization is supposed to be in control. But there seems to be no binding loyalty or plan. We seem to have lost our sight of the higher purpose, the lofty call which our nation once answered. And now we're left with a political system and a governmental system that is all about self-interest and vindictiveness. I'm not picking a side, I'm just saying the system is very deeply flawed. In psychology, Kubler-Ross determined years ago that there are stages of grief. But knowing that a tragedy generally brings the stages of grief, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, that knowledge doesn't help me navigate my fear when I am enduring a loss. So none of these things can really be a cornerstone because we need something that is beyond that, that is before that, that we can build our lives on. In times of disaster, one source said, we begin to say, if we had only built on him. In other words, if we had only built on Jesus. I think that's the case for some of us, but I think in our culture, in our time, we more often say something else. We say, if only we could make that other stone last and endure. If only our jobs and relationships and our things could fill us. How can we advance further so that we can make that happen? So that those things can be our cornerstones. We find ourselves at a loss. A lot of people today call themselves spiritual but not religious because they don't find great meaning in religion. And yet, as we become distant from religion, we lose track of another kind of knowledge that is essential to our human existence. There are two kinds of knowledge, basically. There is concrete knowledge and there is transcendent knowledge. Concrete knowledge might teach us how to build a bridge, how to cure a disease. But that kind of knowledge can't always help us. We need the transcendent kind of knowledge about what to do when no bridge is possible, what to do when no cure exists. Ultimately, the kind of knowledge that can be tested and proven will not help us with our fear and our grief and our loss and our mortality. Only the grace of mercy of the divine, of our God, can help us. When the gospel today says that the builders rejected the stone, I don't believe that that statement or that story is about being damned or doomed in the afterlife, but about being at peace here and hereafter. When Jesus asked, after all, what the landowner should do, the disciples tried to project their understandable, very human sense of vengeance onto God. And the audience hearing him responded, "He will put those miserable wretches to a miserable death." Seems a little strong. But Jesus doesn't speak of vengeance. He speaks then of a cornerstone. He speaks of one solid piece of knowledge which cannot be taken away from us by fire or sword or even by death. That piece of knowledge is that we are saved by the grace of God, and that grace is made manifest in Jesus Christ and in his death and resurrection. We see a reference to this also in the epistle where Paul says that he clings to the Messiah alone, to that salvific piece of knowledge, the one cornerstone capable of outlasting this world. The cornerstone is Jesus. Paul says, "Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord." This story teaches us to expect a rejection of Jesus and yet somehow to cling to Jesus and to move on. Our Old Testament reading today was very familiar, the Ten Commandments. And again, we face the instinct, and we have to resist the instinct, to see that as a checklist of things that we have to do, things that, if I don't do this, I'm going to be condemned. This is not a list of things to do to avoid condemnation. It is a list of things that will help us get on the route to peace. We find peace by loving God, by avoiding building our lives on idols, on all the things which are intrinsically mortal and weak. God is telling us in varying forms in our readings today that these things which can mean so much to us and preoccupy us so much are nothing to build a life on. This story that we had in the gospel is not a predictive story. It's supposed to be an evocative story. In other words, it's not a mathematical formula that says, if you do this, then this will happen. It is a story to say, where in your life are there things that have weakness in them? Where are you trying to build on something that cannot endure? Begin to think about that. This is not a condemnation. It's an evocation, an evoking of a questioning of, what do I put first? What do I build my life on? Have we built on something which will last, which will give us peace when everything around us is chaotic and destructive and frightening? Like a flawed board built deep within a house, our unwillingness to build on Jesus, the cornerstone, will ultimately mean that we can't find peace here or hereafter. certainly trouble will come to every one of us. What will we have in those moments to bring us peace? This year, we've had many losses in our church family, but we believe in resurrection. We believe in Jesus. We have examined the foundational elements of our lives, and there we have placed the resurrected Jesus. The Nicene Creed, which we will say in a few minutes, will underline that we hold to the idea of the resurrection of the dead, the life everlasting. On that foundation, we find peace, even when human trouble comes, which feels as if it will destroy us. I can't prove the existence of God. I can't prove that the resurrection happened. I can't prove any bit of it using scientific techniques or historical facts. And yet I am sustained by a different kind of knowledge, my belief that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Christ, and that Jesus was resurrected. I hold those beliefs deep in my heart and soul, in a place equally inaccessible to doubt and proof. I believe that Jesus was resurrected, and because he was, I believe that I and all those I love will be resurrected. I don't understand. But as the scripture quoted later in the blessing will say, I have a peace which passes understanding. I find peace amid tragedy because I believe in Jesus. I believe in the transcendent mercy and power of God. In other words, I know that the foundation which supports this house is solid, that it will last when all else fades and rusts and dies. I believe, and because of that belief, I have peace. My house is built on the only cornerstone which can endure, Jesus Christ, Son of the living and eternal God. Amen.